God opened through her husband. Well, something, some kind of security, some kind of benefit that goes directly to them because of their work as housewives. So that is kind of another area of demands, the recognition of housework as work and some kind of remuneration for that work. And the case of Puerto Rico, that's critical because most of Puerto Rican women are still not employed. And given, and that perhaps is even more critical, or just as critical here as in Puerto Rico, given the declining opportunities, employment opportunities, particularly for lower educated women and for poor women, another area of demands is certainly the demand for social services and the demand of the social services, social benefits, are not cut. I think you have a tradition here, must be followed. In the welfare rights movements of the 70s, and that now they are organizing around the workfare issue and going against this, which in a sense sometimes I think is more like a threat than a reality, because of course the majority of female heads of family are unable to work because of their other responsibilities. So it's more like saying you don't have the right. It's a harassment more than a cut that will be able to be imposed so dramatically. But still, it's a threat. It's a harassment that must be faced. Mm-hmm. And in the cases that there are cuts, and there have been cuts, they must be gone against. And women must be struggling around this issue.
I'd like to make a few comments also in general, and perhaps they're not only in women, but first, in Puerto Rico right now, 9% of all employed people are in women. It's only 9%.
It's only 18%.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with the legislation and other things in this country, because in Canada it's 59%. And certainly it's Western democracy, etc., etc. So anyway, in the 1970s, we had one of our best union leaders. We used to lead the union of the petrochemical workers and the petrochemical factories or whatever it was in Puerto Rico. Created a union of the unemployed in the south part of the island, and the southern coast in Puerto Rico is called the southern the coast of unemployment. And that didn't go on for very long, but it went on for 2 or 3 years. Also, I would like to point out that in our type of economy, which is, I said at the beginning, is a very artificial economy, you have people going in and out of the labor force all the time for reasons that they can't fathom, that have nothing to do with their being hardworking or less working or whatever. No? The factories left, or the petrochemical people left, or whatever, you know, and all of a sudden they're out of the labor market. And then for a while they might go out and sell bananas and what have you at the corner of the street lights, or might start a little business of their own, and then they will go on welfare, and then they some other kind of factory open and they have a chance at a job. So that it is, when you're speaking of a working class, you're speaking really of a working class that's working class and marginals as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And they go in and out of one and the other. And you could not compare them to, say, for example, the British miners, you know, who for generations have been miners, right, and have a strong conscience of being workers and miners and so on. Another thing that I would like to point out is that our labor force, since 1938 or thereabouts, when the minimum salary in Puerto Rico was set in relation to the minimum salary in this country by certain things that were done by industry, particularly that the law changed a little bit in the 50s, was more or less the same. As a result of this, the minimum wage, which in Puerto Rico to a large extent, particularly in jobs that required very skill, was the ceiling and not the floor in this community. Achieving minimum wage was magnificent, you know, whatever it was. Minimum wage, when it was achieved because the minimum wage here rose. And you see, the minimum wage in Puerto Rico is more or less about 75% of the minimum wage here. After 1984, it's the same as the minimum wage here, by law. It's not a history in that respect of workers' struggles to gain better salaries, but of improvements in salary you grew out of the struggles of the workers in this country. And were applied to the workers in that country because the workers in this country got the legislation so that the salaries in Puerto Rico would not be so low that the factories would leave here and go there, you know, in this kind of unskilled jobs. So that makes, again, for a different sort of history in this respect than what one is used to seeing. Also, I would also like to say that in Puerto Rico, over 30% of the employed people are employed in government work. And the strongest unions we have, the 9% of people are unionized, are unions of the utilities. They're government unions, actually, but it's because when the government bought the utilities, the electric power and the Arkansas Authority and the bus authority and so on, there was a law in the 1940s that said that if they bought some company and there was a union there, the union would not be disbanded, would be allowed within the relationship with the government. So even though government workers, by and large, are not unionized, are not allowed to be unionized by law, etc., these government workers and utilities are unionized. And our UGIE, which is the Union of Electrical Workers, is one of the strongest unions telephone workers, which again is unusual in this respect. And it's not a private telephone company, the government. Okay, I mean, just throwing things here and there, but to show where things are sort of out of kilter if you consider them what you're used to considering as normal in other societies. Yes.
They're also very out of kilter here, and they're out of kilter in the sense that with technological change, with the international economy, with jobs redesigned, all this, what you're going to hear from Washington now is all this discussion of the mixed match of people and jobs. And you're also going to have an enormous number of women in the labor force. Mm-hmm. And the good news from the union perspective is new union members are more likely to be women. Mm-hmm. There's all the bad news that we all know. But 9 to 5 has, the SEIU has poured an enormous amount of money into trying to unionize clerical workers. Mm-hmm. But as clerical jobs become part-time and temporary and so-called contingent jobs, it becomes an extraordinary mechanism for employers to weaken their ties to the very people they hire, cut the benefits, cut them outside the mobility ladders, lower the wages, etc., and they're very hard to unionize. So, I mean, I have this sort of awful feeling that we will live through the first phase, even in some of our sexier sectors, like, by which I mean the public sector, where women are very likely to lose the gains that they've recently achieved.
And in the public sector, I know in Puerto Rico, there's because the public sector employment has grown so enormously, one of the graphs I have in my paper somewhere here is the growth of public sector employment in Puerto Rico in the that's in thousands. No? In thousands of employees. And it does not include the utilities and those other things. Thousand of general public sector employees and municipalities and government and state jobs. But I have heard it talked about already in government than at the university. Not by anybody who says we'll do it tomorrow. I have heard it talked about this business of the subcontracting and the work of medical work and the businesses at the school don't work it out, work out very well, and therefore they should, you know, contract it out, et cetera.
Well, one thing I would add was, to what extent can we expect these sectors, even these sectors, and just going from what you were doing, to continue increasing even as part-time positions? Because how long can an economy sustain just clerical and service employment without a solid base of production and manufacturing?
Well, that's why the United States is now a big debtor nation, because of our whole export-import problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, precisely. So, talking about artificial economies or shaky economies or whatever.
And one quick question about Puerto Rico right now. Uh-huh. Can you comment in terms of your scenario, in terms of the three parties?
Uh-huh.
Are there core policymakers within the statehood, the independistas, and the Commonwealth Party who are the young economists or someone struggling with alternatives other than the immigration as an alternative or the four legs, as you put them?
Yeah, well, I would like to say there are, but I'm looking for them. No?
Okay.
And, because, for instance, the government made a study, in fact, three of the government people made studies. In 1982, when Reagan presented the CBI plan, before he presented it to Congress, and it was sort of being studied, it was passed around in Puerto Rico, and three of the political leaders, and another one, the one in the Independence Party, also presented the program, presented alternate programs for the economy of Puerto Rico to be held, because they said the CBI, as originally proposed, was going to be disastrous for the economy of Puerto Rico. And when I looked at those programs, most of them, except for the one of the Independence Party, which has 5% of the vote, 6% or whatever, most of them were just more of the same. You know, now we give factories, for example, if the factory comes to Puerto Rico after 1976 or 73, I don't remember exactly the year, we rent, we did that before, you know, with other things. We rent them the factory, the plant, no? And it is built by the people who wanted specifications, but still by the government of Puerto Rico, and expense them to them at very low prices. We prepare their employees in the skills that they may need. If the factory hires more than 100 employees for the first year, the government will pay their salary for the first year. Not the taxes we pay. We don't pay for the welfare, we pay for this, and we also pay for all the infrastructure. That's part of what we're coming to debt for, the infrastructure necessary for all this industrialization. And then as an export platform, the factories just come in and out. I mean, according to world economic situation and whatever they need and so on and so forth. And for example, when I mentioned this 1936 thing, the pharmaceuticals have, at least the argument they have is that I've seen on paper, looks very good, and I'm not an economist, they present the fact that they need to have this tax-free status, because they have lost a large percentage of their overseas markets, the world market. They have lost to the Germans and the Swiss and so on. And unless they have a tax-free status, as they have by using Puerto Rico to sort of launder their profits, they will not be able to compete internationally. Huh? And so that's the way that is. But I don't see, the ones I see are, as I said, some former students of mine who are in graduate schools here, there, some at Brown University, some at the, they heard all the story of the, what I call the diagnosis of what the situation was when they were growing up and going to college. And they're also sick of it. Some of them are now doing their doctorate or doing their master's degree and trying to look at these economies at work. Pacific and so on, and trying to bring some new ideas into the field. But the industrialist organization in Puerto Rico also made a study in 1983, and when I read it, it was again more the same. You know, I mean, if we're open, so everybody wants to come from outside, what else can we do for them? Let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. I mean, obviously the world isn't functioning that way today, so why keep on doing the same thing? That's my
I'd be a comment about these other systems, because yeah. The only way that capitalism has ever accumulated is from workers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
Yeah.
So you said sort of incidentally that those countries had totalitarian systems.
Well, that was just incidental. Yeah, I know.
The reason that I'm asking about the struggles of women and others is because, you know, I question whether there is any other pathway to some other kind of system than through that kind of consciousness that is trying to create something different. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to put that in your students, but I question whether, you know, another kind of state plan to accumulate capital would really ameliorate the conditions for workers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would also say that Puerto Rico, tried to jump that particularly horrible stage. They also went through in socialist countries of the 20, 30 years of accumulating capital by making slave labor, by bringing in capital from the outside. No? But what we did, that was...
Fomento.
That was exactly what we wanted to do in the 1950s and 60s with the government. And I remember one of the brightest people we ever had, the American governors we had, well, the ones I know about, I don't know exactly about all the governorships, but the last two were very bright. One was Admiral Levy, who was in Puerto Rico for exactly 1 year and then was sent to be ambassador to Vichy from the United States. And he was no idiot. And the second one was Governor Tubman. No? And Governor Tubman, when Fomento first invented this business of bringing the factories from outside, you know, in 1945, and passed the law through the legislature to Italy. And he signed a veto to the legislature and said, we have been trying for the last 6 years to get absentee landowners out of Puerto Rico. And now we want to get absentee factories into Puerto Rico. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
She wants to know what the present government of Puerto Rico is doing about poverty.
Well, the main thing it's done about poverty for the last 13 years is that the United States government for more money for the poor. No? And of course, it's always talking about creating jobs. It always talks about that every governor that I've heard on the television, you know, the State of the Commonwealth message, is always talking about creating jobs.
And
the president.
Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, they visit Japan, they visit Saudi Arabia, they walk up and down, etc. And the present head of Fomento, Tito Colorado, had to admit publicly 6 months ago that they weren't creating any jobs. What he hasn't admitted publicly is that they're sending some of the jobs we have to the rest of the Caribbean as part of Puerto Rico's, contribution to the CBI. No? But they're not, certainly they haven't created jobs, and he has said it publicly. They haven't been able to create jobs.
But wouldn't creating jobs also presuppose natural resources that,
yes, but there are some natural resources, and also there are some possibilities. Another thing the government has been offering for the last 12 years and hasn't done a thing about. And then the last 12 years, I mean both commonwealths and statehoods. I'm not changing policy or calling some better than others. They've all been offering to help industry created by Puerto Rican entrepreneurs in Puerto Rico, small scale industry, to start and have government support and so on. And every year when you come to see the results, nothing, or very little, no? So that they've just been, shall we say, veteran, that they've been talking about that.
I guess we could say that we have had higher employment before, so it means that higher employment is possible for service and therefore for higher employment.
Program that seemed to the government twice in 1948 to go on with that same program in 1985 doesn't make any sense. to be able to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm so with you that they have to be great, they're great at changes, and I'm just hoping that living was in Venus. See if you can start the government by just talking, that's all I have in one vote.
Sounds like a good reason to break the revenue.
But that's precisely the interesting thing here, is that because the people receive so much, now I suppose what I'm being said is there is no being against the United States. But there is a drop of social decomposition, and there is a large amount of crime, and there is a large amount of drug addiction.
I hope to see you.
So in other words, the government has to.
No, she's going to be here.
You won't be down there.
Yeah. But we're going to meet with the rest of the group from Chavez.
Yes, and I would love to be very enjoyed by talking to the panel.
Well, it's sooner than the publication.
Okay,
your work too.
Okay.
I left one here. If you give me your address, I can send you one. I have my home copy here.
I did my dissertation quarterly last also.
Circulated.
And one of the things I tried to mention, but very briefly, was the feminization of contraception. Or nothing on it.
Oh, very good.
Nothing I can tell on it, I think.
And we're going to be doing some things here on.
Because Tom's talking. Well, I'm very nice.
So I'm right ahead of time.
I came here as some other local many hours for a long time.
Local areas.
Call by the way.
Going on here, not just beyond.
Yes, call me at home.
She had that near and there.
I just rushed right here.
Right, thank you.
See you.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I'm plus, this is not my area, so.
Aye.
But I was interested because I.
You know, so one of our newspapermen has even said that what is going on at present with the primary is really like a civil war in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's interesting.
I guess the wealthy people. And one of the things also that is very true is that ever since 1968, all parties in government, the people who are running the country are those who serve the financial class in this country, no? And they are, yes, for sure.
Everyone's on your side. So it's in the.
Yes, sure. Why don't you write your address? vergonzista.
Yo he ayudado, no, me voy a caer en el cheo, pero he ayudado a los dos partidos que se necesitan con dinero, con análisis, con experiencia para los tertulianos, etcétera, ¿no? Y con mi mamá también, y con otras cosas, y he marchado, y he hecho de todo. Pero nunca he querido ser miembro de partido, porque no porque tenga nada en contra de todo lo que son miembros, de verdad, eso es por cambio. Sino porque quiero mantener mi independencia como la vista. ¿Sabes? Esto es así, así es. Entonces, como por ejemplo, yo digo un año, ahora es donde dice que lo viene, diciendo que la buena vida hacía pasar algo. Que la República no tiene manera también dice que viene a su vida, que no viene por esto que la gente. Y entonces, ahora finalmente, es la vega, ¿no? Que se dio cuenta que no viene. Yo le decía que entre otras cosas, para el Estado hoy y para las transnacionales, pues lo llevo a la educación. Porque no funciona para nosotros. Y entonces, como funciona maravillosamente bien, ellos siguen la línea que ya se prende un buen físico y que no va a pasar nada. Y entonces, ahora, como lo único que ya va a haber un poco, ahora que se escudó, que también lleva el Consejo de Seguridad Nacional para poder llevar a cabo eso. Y que como ese taller se sigue mintiendo, entonces no va a pasar. Pero yo llevaba votando, que todo allá tenía la caballería de que antes del 31 de diciembre, Juan Manuel García pasara a la anunciar 3 meses.
Y ahí me da una decisión.
Dice, yo no llego tú de la noche a la
tarde.
Pero lo que yo hice, con lo que tú mismo hiciste, lo que hice es hacer una manera de otra célula que lo tengo en un sitio.
En el año 60, de hecho, 69, fui a ver
parte de un
tiempo, se llamó la coordinadora cuando habló.
Sí, yo como siempre he sido, lo conozco bastante, lo que soy de derecho internacional y todo lo demás, y yo quiero que yo hice lo mismo.
Yo sé, tú me dijiste, yo le
digo,
yo le digo,
yo le digo, entonces,
que no es la función para que se inventaron los mores fuera constitucional, ¿no? Y es, si es, que se llama como una cosa diferente. O sea, hay profesores en la universidad como el colectivo de socios de religiosos que dicen que las catedrales que para que uno interese efectivamente, de verdad, que pone la musiquita esa, suavecita.
Que manipula.
¿Qué es que trabaja?
Yo soy de trabajo,
una financiera, sí. Entonces, de ahí
no
es alta,
no es firma, no es manipulada. Con el código se llama todo. No sé, soy estudiante de psicología.
Ay, qué bueno.
Muy interesante. Entonces, ella me llama y dice, ven, que Carmen. O yo, que Carmen, un tiempo más grabando. Y me quedo bien. Pues entonces, ya. Pero no había, no sabía de dónde estábamos aquí, porque no estoy en el tipo de
gente. La educación,
¿no? Que no lo está bien.